Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. A new report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture has found that through voluntary conservation measures, farmers reduced the amount of nitrogen that washes off their fields into the Mississippi River watershed waterways by 21%. That's good news for water treatment plants that spend millions of dollars each year to remove farm chemicals from drinking water supplies. Harvest Public Media's Abby Fentress-Swanson takes a look at the particular challenge posed by the nitrogen in fertilizer.
The stalks of 5-foot-tall corn plants rustle as U.S. Department of Agriculture soil scientist Newell Kitchen moves through them. As he walks the row, Kitchen holds what looks like a giant radar gun atop the plants.
Okay, 0.4414.
Basically, this crop sensor is calculating how much nitrogen this corn needs to be at its most productive. The sensor, when connected to a farmer's sprayer, will tell the applicator to put less nitrogen on healthy corn plants and more nitrogen on weaker ones.
You would actually take readings over the top of the corn, and light is shining down on the corn, and it's reflecting back up, and then it records the information of what it reads.
The idea is that the sensors can help farmers limit the amount of fertilizer they use. Then less nitrogen in the form of nitrates could wash into waterways. Lately, nitrate runoff has been a major problem, particularly in Iowa. Des Moines Water Works paid $900,000 this summer to remove nitrates from the Raccoon and Des Moines rivers, where the plant takes its drinking water from. That hefty bill will get passed on to the customer, says General Manager Bill Stowe.
The process of treating this polluted water to deliver it in a safe and fair fashion is very expensive, but it's also raising great concerns among our consumers about the safety of their tap water.
Stowe says when babies and pregnant women consume nitrates, serious health problems can follow.
Our concern, obviously, is that once you shake customers' faith in the safety of tap waters, you turn them to other sources like bottled water, which is certainly a competitor. It changes our business model and puts us at risk in the long term as a viable utility for providing drinking water for 500,000 people.
Last year's drought prevented parched fields from absorbing fertilizers applied by farmers. And the extremely wet weather this spring and summer has caused an extra load of nitrates to flow into the water. U.S. Geological Survey scientists this summer waded into 100 Midwest streams to test for nitrates, livestock hormones, and hundreds of pesticides used in farming. At roughly 20% of the sites, they found that nitrate levels exceeded safe drinking water standards. Iowa and Minnesota streams had the highest concentrations, according to the Geological Survey. In Missouri, nitrate levels did not exceed drinking water standards at any of the streams in the study. Still, other data show concentrations are rising on parts of the Missouri River, which supplies much of the state's drinking water.
19 feet.
19 feet.
On a sampling trip this summer near Herman, scientists from the Geological Survey are on a work skiff in the middle of the Missouri River. To collect data on ag runoff, they lower a 130-pound container that looks like a white torpedo into the water. Scientists have been tracking nitrate levels here for decades, and historic sampling data show that the concentrations here are 75% higher than they were in 1980. On the ride back to shore, hydrologist Richard Koop says beyond drinking water concerns, high nitrates also hurt the Gulf of Mexico, contributing to a dead zone.
Some scientists have related the size of that zone of low dissolved oxygen to the amount of nitrogen that comes out of the Mississippi River, and it's been getting larger over time. And so eventually they're concerned that it could destroy the fisheries in the Gulf of Mexico or adversely affect them.
Koop believes farmers must continue to feed the world, but not at the expense of the environment or our water supply.
I think as we learn more and we collect more data and then we kind of put these models together, we see how certain types of landscape activities affect this and that, and we can kind of change things.
Which brings us back to the high-tech crop sensors that USDA soil scientist Newell Kitchen is demonstrating in a Columbia, Missouri cornfield.
One of the solid arguments for these technologies is if I do put the right rate at the right place, then there's less nitrogen at the end of the growing season that might be there that can go into streams and rivers, or can go off into the atmosphere as like a greenhouse gas. And so it is a win-win.
But with price tags of up to $10,000 each, the sensors aren't cheap. A recent national survey found that 7% of farmers use crop sensors, up from 4% in 2011. Other strategies for reducing nitrate runoff include planting cover crops and nitrogen-efficient crop varieties. It's at the farmer's discretion, though, because currently there are few state laws and no federal laws that limit the amount of nitrogen that farmers can put on their fields. Abby Fentress-Swanson, Harvest Public Media.
Now it's August. All over the country, folks have been flocking to that ultimate summer tradition, the state fair. But not all of us can get out there. That's why Harvest Public Media is bringing us this trip to the state fair in Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois.
I'm Gary Slater. I'm the manager and CEO of the Iowa State Fair.
Thank you.
I always say that Colorado has the Rocky Mountains, Minnesota has the lakes. We have the Iowa State Fair, and that's what the people really love.
I'll have a deep fried brownie on a stick, please.
I'm Dale Moreland. I live in Dexter, Missouri, and I show draft mules, halter class, as well as hook to the wagon, hitch classes. I've been coming to the Missouri State Fair since I was a child. Came here with my grandpa, so the fair is very special to me. And my dream was to show mules here. My job didn't allow me to show mules. I come and watch the mules, and I help other people show, but I couldn't bring my mules. So 2 years ago when I retired, I was able to come and show my own mules. And it's just been my dream to show mules here at the fair, and here I am, and I love it.
My name is Chris Hughes, and I can remember coming down to the fair as a little boy with my parents and going to see Otto the car, talking car, and the locomotive, riding the trams, you know, going to all the Cadillac expositions, and it just brought back a lot of memories doing that again when you bring little ones down. And I weighed 97 pounds before I came to the fair the first time, and now look at me. You know, it's because of the Missouri State Fair. Those $2 corn dogs, you betcha. You know, there's nothing better than the Missouri State Fair corn dog.
Hi, I'll have a bacon wrapped rib on a stick.
Just one?
Yes.
And I always say, you cannot see the Iowa State Fair in one day. It takes, you got to come back more than once.
A little postcard from the state fairs in Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. It came to us from Harvest Public Media reporters Amy Mayer, Abby Fentress-Swanson, Bill Wheelhouse, and Jeremy Bernfeld. And that's it for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.